So today we're doing Mishlei, the Torah versus Heresy. It's a Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph through Tes, and the topic is Shlomo's prophetic mission. Okay, so this is like in a certain sense you could have started the book Mishlei with this. It's kind of giving you the framework in which Mishlei occurs. But for I guess various reasons, Shlomo started the book the way he did, and then once you kind of get a sense of what Mishlei is about, then he's going to introduce to you the idea behind it. The framework, the background, what motivated the motivated Mishlei. Okay, so we'll start with Pasuk Aleph and Beis. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet kind of go together. So I guess I'll read them together, and then we'll take up Aleph Beis first, then Gimel Dalet. Okay, so first is like this: Shimu banim Musar Av. So listen, children. Okay, so this is different. So this is the first time I think the first time it's used banim, not bni, right? It says Shimu banim Musar Av. So listen, children, to the Musar of the father. Av hakshiva lakshivu ladas bina, and like give ear, hearken. To know understanding. Okay. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, because a good teaching I gave you. Torasi al tazovu, my Torah do not abandon. Okay. I'll stop there. We'll give him a dollar after. Okay. So first like this. Let's take a look at Rashi, what he says on these two psukim. So he says, Shimu banim Musar Av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so the father here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we saw before in the beginning of Perek Aleph, right? How does the pasuk go? Is Shema banim Musar Av, Yechavati Tosh Torah Simecha. So there also, Rashi said that the father is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, okay, so it's the father. So the father here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen, children, to the father Musar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and hearken in order to know understanding. That's the main message, knowledge and understanding. Okay, and this is the pasuk Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. So Rashi is like this: Hanavi midaber bishlichusa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Varehu kipiv. Okay, so the Navi is talking, right? Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. So Shlomo is talking here to us. He's speaking to us, but it's the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending the Navi, Shlomo HaMelech, the Navi, to teach us and to instruct us. Okay. And he's kippiv. So he's speaking, the Navi is speaking like Moshe Rabbeinu does, V'nesati mitar tzachem bito, right? Like by in Kriya Shema, the second parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Klal Yisrael in Sefer Dvarim, but he's speaking from the framework of, from the, in the tone, in the person of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzareyu kippiv. So this is the message that, that he's trying to deliver, right? Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, torasi al tazovu. That Hashem is saying to us, okay, that he's given us a good instruction, a good teaching. He's given to us, my Torah do not abandon. Okay, so let me do Gimel and Dal, then I'm going to come back and put it all together. Okay, but basically, I'll tell you, is Pasuk Beis is the critical, the pasuk that encapsulates the entire Sefer Mishlei here, the entirety. This is the pasuk that is basically the mission of Shlomo HaMelech. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, torasi al tazovu. Okay. Why was Shlomo chosen to deliver that message? Okay. Ki bein hayisi la'avi, because I was a son to my father, rach v'yachid lifnei imi, tender and unique, special, in front of my mother. Vayoreini vayomerli, and he instructed me and said to me, Yismach dvar li becha, keep my words close to your heart. Shemor mitzvosai vechye. Keep my commandments and you will live. Okay, so what's going on? What's going on? What's pasuk gimel? So now there's like Rabbi Yosef Karo, or Karo, or however you say it. He's one of Rashi's Talmidim Chaverim. So he inserted a large comment in between there. We're going to skip it. It's not from Rashi. Okay, so we're going to pick up of Kibin HaYisilavi, the second one, where it's the Davracher. That's Rashi's interpretation. So Rashi's Kibin HaYisilavi, like Hanavi Omer. So this is the Navi talking again. This is Shlomo speaking to us. Bein HaYisi, right, Avi LaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was he's a son to his father, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shehishra Rucho Alai. So Kadosh Baruch Hu rested his spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, on Shlomo. So we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu calls Shlomo Bain, because it says, I guess, I think that's the end of that pasuk. Right? It's supposed to quote the whole thing. So there's a specific pasuk that Shlomo and Kadosh Baruch Hu had a father-son relationship. Shmuel Bey's Perek Zayin Pasuk Gedalet. That Hashem will be a father to Shlomo and he will be like a son to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's Shlomo, or why he was chosen. We'll go into the details. Rach v'yachid lifnei imi, he was tender and special in front of his mother. So imi here means umasi, means his nation, right? Just like Rashi in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches, maybe, learned that imi meant umasi, the Klal Yisrael. So ani nivchar v'chaviv kibein rach v'yachid. So to my nation, to Klal Yisrael, so I was like chosen and special and cherished like an only child, a young only child. Lekach v'yirin yavi. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu selected me. Okay. So so this is basically like this, is that Shlomo Melech was chosen by Kadosh Baruch Hu to deliver the message of Pasuk Beis, Ki lekach tov nasati lechem, torasi al tazofu, to deliver that message to Klal Yisrael. And why was Shlomo chosen? Why was he chosen? So first of all, he was chosen because he had a unique ability and a position to influence Bnei Yisrael, to influence the nation. And by influencing Bnei Yisrael, it's not just the people of his generation. It's L'dori Doros, right? 3,000 years later, we're still learning the words of the wisdom of Shlomo Melech. Okay, and Shlomo became king when he was 12 years old. And remember, he had that dream, and God asked him, "What do you want?" And Shlomo asked for Chachma, and God said, "Because you asked for Chachma, that's I'm going to, you know, give you Chachma and everything else that comes with it." Right, all the other things, Osha Kavod, all these other things that come along with Chachma. But basically, Hashem instructed him and taught him, right, by Yireini Avi, that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Shlomo Melech specifically and made him, educated him, and gave him the wisdom in order to write Sefer Mishlei, in order to be the vehicle of delivering the message to Klal Yisrael. Okay. I'll come back to it. I'm going to interplay before between this weekend. What is the message? What was the message that Shlomo Melech was trying to deliver in Sefer Mishlei? This is the message that, and Shlomo was telling us this, as this is the message that God is trying to communicate to Bnei Yisrael, and he needed somebody to do it for him. He needed a messenger. He needed a shliach. And the message is, Ki lekach tov nasati lechem, a good teaching I have given you, Torasi al tazofu, don't abandon my Torah. Okay, don't abandon the Torah. And this is the message that Hashem is trying to communicate to Klal Yisrael, and not to give up the Torah, because the Torah is good. And this is really the essence of Mishlei, is to somehow find a way to communicate to the Jewish people that the Torah is good, stop abandoning it, stop giving it up. Okay, and there was a problem in Shlomo Melech's generation, and I don't think it's gotten any better in the modern era, of people abandoning the Torah because they don't realize that the Torah is a good system for them. And it's not so easy to instruct people and to show them how they know the Torah is good. Okay, the idea of lekach, okay, Rashi doesn't say this, but the idea of lekach, I think, is a word that that brings you back to Parsha to Hazinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah, right? He says that it's the first pasuk in Hazinu, second pasuk, right? So Hazinu Shemayim with the bear of Sishmaret and Refi, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. It says Yarov Kamatar Likhi Tizakatal Imrisi Imrasi. So the introduction, basically the beginning of the Shir of Hazinu. So it says that my teachings should drip like rain. Okay, so Rashi says, right, this is the Edus that the Shemayim V'Arach should testify, Hazinu Shemayim V'Adabeira. This is the Edus, the introduction to the whole Shir of Hazinu, the critical song of the whole Torah, right? Shani Omer Bifnechem. This is the Edus that the Shemayim V'Arach are going to testify to Klai Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. He's saying, Torah Shenasat L'Yisrael, Shi Chayim La'Olam, Kimatar Zesh Yu Chayim La'Olam. Right? So the idea, right, Yarov Kamata Lichi is a teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is life chayim l'olam. Okay, and this is the message that Moshe Rabbeinu introduces the whole Shir of Hazinu from, and it's the message that Shlomo is trying to communicate to us, is that the Torah is good, it's good, and don't abandon it. Why would you think the Torah is not good? Why would a person think not so much, right? So I think it's, you know, it's been I think 2 weeks since we dealt with, you know, the prior psukim, the end of Paragimel. But the nature of rishus, the nature of things that are contrary to the Torah, is that in the short term they work. In the short term you have success from evil. Right, Dami mentioned to me last week is that obviously that rishus has to pay off in the short term, or else people wouldn't do it. Right, the reason people do rishus and they do evil, and they go against the mitzvahs in the Torah is because there is short-term gain, and there's pleasure, there's a measure of short-term success that they have from abandoning the Torah. And if they didn't have that, they wouldn't abandon the Torah, right? So that leads the person, the Nar and the Pasi, to be misled and to think that the Torah is not good, because he's drawn by these short-term promises of success and pleasure and riches and things that stealing and corruption and you know, and abandoning the Torah seem to offer to a person. But, and you need the wisdom, you need the Chachma of Shlomo to really illustrate why that's really harmful and dangerous and you're hurting yourself. And to show you that the Torah really is good and it's Chaim Lo'olam. And the world needs the Torah. And God gave the Torah early because he saw the world couldn't be existed. It would devolve into like a Dora Hamabo, where everybody's killing each other and plundering and robbing and right and all the problems the taivas are there with, right? And it's destructive to the world, and the Torah, the world needed the Torah. And Shlomo Melech is the one who has to illustrate that, the Das and the Bina, to explain to people why the Torah really is a good thing. And that's essentially encapsulates the entire message of what Mishlei is trying to give over. And even the 20 prakim at the end of the book is just trying to show you why the Torah is a good thing and why and you need to use Chachma to analyze it, to understand it. But the point is that if you don't use Chachma to understand it and you don't have the wisdom of Shlomo, Shlomo Melech opened up the Torah. Before Shlomo Melech, people, the Torah was like a closed book. You know, I think the Midrash in the beginning of Mishlei, Shir Shirim, explains how like Shlomo was a transition, was a watershed in the teaching of Torah. And the people did not understand this before the time of Shlomo Melech. Certainly it wasn't available to the Hamon Am, this idea of seeing the depths in the Chachma of Torah and why it's not just a system of rules and laws, of restrictions, but it's really a system to the benefit of the individual and the whole tzibur and the world as a whole. And that's what Shlomo made known to the world. Now, his unique position is that, first of all, he was educated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And why did God select him? Because he was Rach v'yachad with Me'imi, right? In front of the nation, L'masi, he was Nivchar v'chaviv. So he had, Rach v'yachad. So he was somebody, he was the son of David HaMelech, who was a very popular and loved figure in Klal Yisrael. And he was the Melech. He was an influential person. God didn't just choose some random person to be his Navi. Which sometimes he does, you know, sometimes he chooses somebody who's, I don't know exactly the history, but like Elisha, where did Elisha come from? He's right. I mean, his background story, it seems like he was a poor person living in the town, and, you know, Eliyahu comes to him, and, you know, who was he beforehand? He wasn't a king. He wasn't anybody who had a position of, prominence in advance of him being chosen for as a Navi. But Shlomo had a relationship to the people. He was somebody that people loved and they respected and they cherished Shlomo. And it was somebody who people could connect to for not just that generation, but forever. Shlomo Melech, the king of Yerushalayim, the king of the Jewish people, David and Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. He has a special place in Jewish history. And he, because of his personality, because of his position, his relationship to the Am, he's in a unique position to influence Bnei Israel throughout the generations. And like we mentioned before, I forgot which pasuk it was, is like a large part of the efficacy of Mishle, it rests on the fact that you respect Shlomo Melech and you recognize him as a Chacham and you have a certain emotional attitude and an openness to him because you realize you trust Shlomo Melech and you realize he's not misleading you. He's not trying to harm you. He's telling you the way he thinks the world really is. And he's really, acting your best interest. And that's a big part of the influence of Sefer Mishle on you is the fact that you look at Shlomo as a superego figure, as a father. Okay. There's like an interesting thing here is that on the one hand, the father of Mishle is Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who delivers the message to Shlomo Melech. Okay, because we're going to see Pasuk Hei to Pasuk Tes is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered to Shlomo. Okay, it's the nevuah that Hashem instructed Shlomo, right? It's like Shmor Mitzvah Sa'vechye. This is what God's telling Shlomo. He's giving him the instructions. But on the other hand, Shlomo becomes the father of Mishle also, and he delivers a message to us. So on the one hand, Shlomo is both the son of Mishle, who's receiving the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his father. On the other hand, Shlomo is also the father of Mishle, who's delivering that same message, communicating it in the words to us, and we're the children. Okay, so the mashal of father-son has two, it's a double meaning. There's two possible ways of interpreting it. And they're both true simultaneously. It's the message that God delivered to Shlomo is the message that Shlomo delivers to us. Okay, so that's in a certain sense, it always answers like who the father of Mishle, who's the son of Mishle. It was first Shlomo was the son, God's the father, and then Shlomo becomes the father for all future generations of Bnei Israel, and we become the children. Okay. One other point was I think the idea of Rach V'yachlef Naimi, is that when God came and educated Shlomo, he was 12 years old. So there's an idea that when Hashem came to Shlomo in order to teach him and to educate him and to deliver this message, it was still at a point in Shlomo's life where he was impressionable. He was young and he was impressionable. And he was capable of being educated and directed into the path of wisdom and the path of Torah. So that's when God got to Shlomo. And I think that's like a critical idea of why it's always presented as father and son in Mishle, is the ability to influence people and to really change them and to direct them on the Torah. It's like specifically in like that critical, those teenage years when the person is most impressionable and they're choosing their path in life and they're most, trying to figure out the world. That's really a time and place where they look at the Torah and they say, why do I want to keep this? It doesn't really cater to my emotions. It doesn't seem like it's leads me to the success or the way of life that I want. That's really where you have to come in there and really explain to them the Torah, where they need the guidance of the superior, the father, to instruct them and to guide them and to show them, don't abandon the Torah. Don't go away from it. It's good for you. It's like, in a certain sense, it's the simplest message. Ki lekech tov nasati lechem torasi al tazovu. Don't abandon the Torah. It's a good thing, but you need somebody like Shlomo Melech who has that relationship to the people and has the wisdom to communicate that idea to Bnei Yisrael in his generation and all generations. Okay, so just to develop the point of Ki Bnei Yisrael Avi, so that's saying that Shlomo was like, so I don't know if there's another person in Tanakh where, I mean, it probably is, I just don't know. But it's a unique relationship that God set up with Shlomo, of a father-son relationship. I don't know what comes to my mind of where God specifically took somebody who's 12 years old, you know, somebody who's young, right? This Shlomo's father just died. David dies when Shlomo's 12, and he becomes, he's elevated to the throne. And God comes to him in the dream, and he asks him what he wants, and he gives him Chachma, and God personally educated. He developed a relationship with Shlomo Melech of a father-son relationship. He's called Yedidya. Shlomo Melech is called Yedidya in the Navi, like the cherished one of God. So he's like, he became somebody who's like very, very special, unique, cherished relationship to HaKadosh Baruch, a very close, personal father-son relationship. And God specifically took to, he was educated by God. And that, how did Shlomo become such a big Chacham? Because God specifically was his teacher. God was Shlomo's teacher. Just like Shlomo is the teacher of Klal Yisrael, and he taught us all the wisdom of Chacham, of Mishlei Kohel Shir Shirim, and he taught us all this Chacham, and he opened up the whole Torah. He got that Chachma from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, obviously he developed it on his own, and you know, just like he has Bina, he has creativity, and he has, you know, but he was instructed by Hashem. Hashem specifically took Shlomo because there was, it was a critical, it was a crisis. It was a time of crisis. People were abandoning the Torah because they didn't appreciate the wisdom of the Torah. It was like necessary, it became necessary at that stage in history for the Chachmas HaTorah to become opened up in a broader, in a more public light, to be more available, to be seen, that the Torah, these, the system of mitzvot are chachma and das, and they're good, and they're tov, and they're chayim la'olam. And people, and Hashem needed somebody to be his shliach to do that. So he took Shlomo Melech because he was young, he was the king, was loved by the people, and he had the natural talents and abilities that if you educated him and taught him, he would get the chachma, and he would get the, he would have the knowledge to explain the Torah in a deep, elucidated, in a deep manner of how the Torah is good and its chachma and its das, and that's, and to view the Torah in a new way to prevent people from abandoning the Torah. So there was a unique, that's the point. It's a unique, he's a special person in history, Shlomo, but because God selected him, because of, you know, the need in the moment, there was a need in the moment to prevent the people from leaving the Torah. And you needed somebody, and Shlomo was the man of the hour with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, who instructed him. Vayareini Avi, right? Ki b'nei Yisrael Avi, rach v'yachlif ne'imi. Vayareini v'yomali. That's what Rashi is like. Kach v'yareini Avi. Because of his unique position to Klal Yisrael and his talents and his abilities, you need somebody to deliver that message. God selected Shlomo to be that person, that spokesman, to communicate. Ki lekech tov nesati lachem Torah si'al tazov. To be the spokesman for the Torah, to elucidate the Torah. Okay, so now what was the message that besides Kilekach Tov, what was the mitzvos, right? Right, Vayomer Li, this is what God said to Shlomo Pasuk Gimel. Yismach Var Li Becha, Shmor Mitzvos Ha'Vechye, right? So keep my mitzvos are close to you and keep them. So what were the instructions that he told him? So let's say this, Pasuk Hei Tetes here. Kinei Chachma, Kinei Bina. So acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Al Tishkach V'Al Teim Imrefi. So do not forget, nor deviate from the words of my mouth. Al tazveha v'tishmereka, ehaveha v'sinsereka. So don't abandon her, meaning the Torah. Don't abandon the Torah, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Reishis chachma kinei chachma. The beginning of Chachma, the beginning of wisdom, is to acquire wisdom. U'bechol kinyancha kinei vina. And with, in all your acquisitions, acquire understanding. Salsaleha utaromeka. So, salsaleha is like, Rashi is chapsa, means like seek after her, to go over something. It's like to really go over something. It's like a person playing with their hair. Rashi is misalsal basaro. Like, so it's in a certain sense, like, it's like to fondle, really. Really, it's like to fondle almost. Usro Mecca. So if you fondle the Torah, caress, maybe caress is a better word, go over it, caress, fondle, and the Torah, and she will elevate you. Techabedcha ki techab kena. And she will honor you because you hug her, you cling to her, you grasp her. Titein leroshcha liv yaschein. She will give to your head an accompaniment of grace, right? Like it's like a crown of grace. Ateres tiferes timagneka, and she will give over to you a crown of splendor. Okay, so those are the psukim. Okay, let us analyze these psukim, how Rashi learns them. Okay, so it's okay. So specifically, let's take a pasuk Zion here, right? It says it's a hey is kinei chachma kinei bina, right? It's acquire wisdom and understanding, right? Okay. Well, let me say this: is there's really two elements going on in these psukim, and they're interwoven here. Okay, one is an intellectual relationship to the Torah, which is chachma and bina, and the order of them, right? Pasuk hey, it's kinei chachma kinei bina. To acquire chachma and bina, and then pasuk zayin tells you the order. Reish is chachma kinei chachma v'b'chol kinyan chakinei bina. That's like one thing. Hey and zayin, it's the intellectual relationship to the Torah, and then pasuk vav ches and tes is more of an emotional relationship to the Torah. Okay, so let's analyze them one at a time. Those were the two key elements of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shlomo was is an intellectual attitude towards the Torah and an emotional attitude towards the Torah. Okay, so let's see Pasuk Zion here. Rashi says, Reish is chachma kinei chachma. It says, Techilas chachmascha lemod me'achem. So the beginning of like of your wisdom, beginning of your knowledge. The truth is chachma we translate as wisdom, but it's much more accurate probably to translate it as knowledge. I'm not going to do that because it's just ingrained in who I am. That's chachma's wisdom, but it's really, Chachma has the sense in Mishle, at least the way Rashi learns, and a lot of Rishonim. It's like knowledge you learn from others. It's knowledge you learn from others. So it's the beginning of your studies. You learn from others. Knei lecha shmua pirav. Find somebody, a rabbi, somebody, a teacher, who knows more than you, and he can instruct you and can teach you. You don't want to have to discover knowledge on your own. There's a certain wealth of knowledge that mankind has amassed throughout time. In the framework of Torah, it's because of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then, you know, you have Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. In the framework of science, it's because mankind has built up science and knowledge and over the millennium. And therefore, when you are trying to begin your investigations into the world of ideas, the step one is to learn from others the knowledge that they have, and not to try to discover everything on your own. You know what I mean? You don't want to go through the steps and, you know, have to figure out Euclidean geometry on your own. It's been discovered already. First, learn it from other people, right? The Torah, your Rebbe, has a lot of ideas that he can give you that, you know, don't reinvent the wheel. So that's the first step. The acharkach, and once you have that, once you've gotten the knowledge from others, b'chol kinyancha k'nei bina, and all your other acquisitions, you should spend your time acquiring, your energy and your time acquiring understanding. What's bina? Tizbonim ba. So contemplate. Me'atzmecha l'haskel atamim. So in that knowledge that you've received, in the Gemara, and understanding of the Psukim, and the Rashis, and science, and in all the areas. So think about it. Think deeply into it. Contemplate. Spend the energy to understand the concepts. Davar mitov davar. The ideas, the derivative ideas, the creative ideas, one idea from the other, and to discover new ideas and new insights and new depths. Okay, but there's the first thing basically God told Shlomo Melech is that that if you want to become a chacham, if you want to become wise and understanding and have knowledge, there's a methodology that you must follow. It's not Hefkerville. It's not just you just do whatever you want, do whatever is interesting to you. But you have to follow proper methodology. And the most basic element of a methodology, if you really want to acquire wisdom and understanding, is that first you learn from others, the facts, the ideas, the received knowledge tradition from the generations, from your Rebbe, from your teacher. And then after that, don't skip that step. Don't skip that step. Don't just try to figure everything out on your own. That's just a complete waste of time. And you're just going to end up with a lot of stupid ideas that you could have removed by learning from others. Mankind has removed a lot of false ideas that you can. You don't have to prove everything wrong on your own. Don't skip that step. But then don't be satisfied with it. Don't just only learn Gemara, Rashi, Tosos over and over and over. Just keep doing it. At some point, you have to stop and you have to think on your own and see if you can give as far as and see if you can understand the ideas and develop new creative approaches to things. The idea is not simply just to be a recorder who just goes to the received knowledge and just keeps doing that over and over and over and just gets more and more received knowledge. At some point, you have to stop on your own and to think deeply and creatively into ideas. There's certain ideas that can't be given over, and there's certain ideas that you want to develop your own mind. You want to have the ability to see new ideas. And that's, to answer Leslie's questions from before, that's what engages your soul. What engages your soul is when you're not a passive learner, but you're actively learning and you're engaging with the material actively, and you bring out new ideas and nuances and subtleties and new breakthroughs that weren't available, that nobody's taught you beforehand. Okay. And that's really the methodology of learning. You can't skip the first step. You can't skip the idea of learning from others. And that's, that's a process. And it's at different stages, certainly when you're younger, that's the stage of your life you're learning from others. But it's also in every area. If you begin, or you want to begin to pursue a new area, you want to understand, psychology. So you don't just to say, you know what, I'm going to start thinking about it myself. What are the different parts of my mind and how should I think about it? There's a lot of people, smart people, have thought about beforehand, and there's experiments that they've done, and there's ideas, and the Torah has a way of viewing things, and don't try to do it yourself. You got to start from the, you have to learn how to learn from others and learn how to go through an area first of what is the wisdom that is out there. But then after that, you can't be satisfied with that. At some point you move past that, and the bulk of your energy is devoted towards being a creative thinker and insight and new ideas and understanding that was not in the material, that you've added to the material by your own mind and your own creativity. And that is the methodology that's the key methodology that Hashem told Shlomo, and Shlomo's communicating to us. And again, it's different stages of your life of when you shift from one to the other, and different areas of wisdom. If you start a new area, then again, you start with Chachma and then move to Bina, but then there's also like a general idea of your life. You begin with Chachma, then you move on to Bina as you get older. So it applies over the course of your life as a whole, but also applies to different areas of knowledge, this methodology. And just the underlying broader concept is approach wisdom with a method. Don't just do whatever emotionally feels right, because you're going to get into areas that could be harmful and dangerous to you. And that's what causes people to abandon the Torah, is the fact that they're free thinkers and they have no restraints, they have no method, and that's the Isser. Also, Surah Levachem Achranechem is the Isser, is to pursue areas you're not ready for. And that's exactly what exposes you to the Ish Medaber Tapuchos, the con man who is going to convince you and trick you. And if you get into areas that are beyond you, and then you're going to be, there's a lot of misinformation out there that can trick you and fool you. And if you don't go through the proper steps and the methodology, then you're likely to be misled and to come up with false ideas and end up thinking things that are exact opposite of the truth. Get into an area that you're not ready for, you're almost definitely going to come out with lies and false information. And that's what causes a lot of people to abandon the Torah, that they don't follow a methodology of thinking. And when they're young, they want to figure everything out themselves, and they want to get into areas that they're not ready for. They don't follow a sequence of, it's not exactly this, but there's like a sequence of, the Rambam is very big on it. A lot of Rishonim talk about it. There's a sequence of knowledge. Not every knowledge, a person doesn't just begin with metaphysics. Even physics or in Torah also, you don't just begin with Gemara. You start with the Torah Shebichsav and Chumash, and then you go to Mishnayos, and then you get to Gemara, and then you get to Agata. So there's a sequence of order of knowledge, and there's guides, and the Rishonim in the Torah has a prescription of the way you should approach knowledge, and there's no area of knowledge the Torah says is forbidden ultimately from a person. There's no anything that's true the Torah allows you to pursue. It's just the Torah demands that you pursue it intelligently, you pursue it with a methodology, and you don't just do it on a whim. You're not just a free thinker with no restraints. We're Jews, and we have, well, there's an Isser in the Torah. And again, for a young person, the Torah seems restrictive. I'm not allowed to learn all these books about the heretical books. I'm not allowed to learn them. Yeah, you're not allowed to learn them. You can't learn them. They're not good for you. They're going to mislead you. They're bad for you. You have to go through the method. At some point in your investigations, you're going to get to those ideas and you'll see why they're false. But if you read a book you're not ready for, you're not going to see why it's false. You're going to be convinced it's true and you're going to abandon the Torah. And it's destructive to you. It's destructive to the world. Okay, so that's like one of the most important ideas intellectually, is that you have to have a method of approaching knowledge and approaching wisdom. So the end of Pasuk Hey is saying that this idea of Chachma and Bina, these two elements, are an essential point. Don't forget it and don't deviate from it. A person is prone to go off the derech here, and emotionally he wants to skip steps and he wants to, or he just forgets about this. And basically a person's emotions are taking him away from this, from following a method. And God's telling Shlomo, this is the methodology. It's an intellectual methodology. Make sure you don't let your emotions corrupt your method, your intellectual analysis, the method on which you approach something. And your question, Yudah, was Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav is already in the second element. That's about developing the emotional relationship with Torah. We'll take that up in a minute. But it's a different point. This is more, and the Pasuk Hey is emphasizing the intellectual point. Don't let your emotions steer you off the course.
Okay.
So fine. So now let's take up, we'll take a Pasuk Vav, right? Vav, Ches, and Tes. Okay. So let's read those together. So Vav is Al Tazver V'Tishmereka, Ehaveha V'Sintzereka. So, right. So don't abandon the Torah, right? If you don't abandon the Torah, then she'll guard you. And if you love her, she'll protect you. And Pasuk Ches, Sasaleh Shromeka, if you caress her, she'll elevate you, techabeitcha ki techabkena, and she will honor you because you hug her. Titi l'rosh chaliv yaschein, ateres tiferes t'magnecha. Right. So let's see Rashi. Rashi says saleha. He says hechozer l'eladaktik ba. So go over her in order to be precise and precision in the details of the Torah. Okay. Right. So like a person when he's harvesting like grapes or something. So he keeps going back over the vineyard and tries to look for like more, tries to get every last grape, right? So it's like a certain attitude towards the Torah. You keep going over it and you want to find, it's like you're trying to harvest every last piece of information. It's like precious. A certain attitude where the Torah is precious, right? Like we did last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Kari Mekninim, it's like more precious than pearls. A certain attitude of how precious the Torah is. And then if you do that, Titin L'Rosh Chalev Yeschein. So it's chevras chen, right? So it's like an accompaniment of grace. This is like the pasuk, the promise in pasuk in the beginning of Mishlei, right? The first after the introduction, this was the first that pasuk in was right. It was Shema Menib Nusar Vicha about Yiddish Torah Simecha Ki Livias Chen Heim Roshecha Vanakum Gagro Secha. So Nakum Gagro Secha Rashi dealt with earlier, right? That was the when you appreciate the whole world works through Chachma, that's what gave you the Anakum Megagro Secha. We developed that, I think, 2 weeks ago. Now it's explained to you what gives you that first pasuk of Livias Chen Hein Roshecha. Where if you keep the Torah, what's going to give you this Livias Chen? Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. But I just think on the general point here is if you look here, these two messages are interwoven. The intellectual idea of approaching Torah in a methodical, intellectual way, and then having the proper emotional relationship to Torah, where the Torah is personified and it's this loving relationship. But if you look at it, it's the loving relationship that causes the Torah to respond with protecting you and guarding you, right? Al tazveh v'tishmereka, ahaveh v'tinsereka. Okay, if you love the Torah, then she'll guard you and protect you, right? If you caress her, if you hug her, then she'll honor you and she'll elevate you and she'll give you this livias chayin, this company of grace and a glorious, you become a splendor. She'll give over to you. So it's that even though it is essential that you approach the Torah intellectually with the highest intellectual rigor and an analysis and methodically and all that stuff is absolutely true. What creates the response of the Torah, what the Torah responds to you to give you this crowning glory and the protection from the minos, from the which is protecting from bad stuff out there, which, you know, again, is yet the larger picture is that she's protecting you from those forces that are outside that would harm you, that will cause you to abandon the Torah and really destroy your life and ruin your existence. What causes you to be protected is your emotional, is the emotional relationship to Torah. Hold on a second. Yeah. So it's the emotional relationship to Torah that brings about this response, not the purely intellectual. A person who just has views of Torah in a cold, intellectual, calculating manner and looks at his wisdom and does put his energies into it, but it's purely in the intellectual framework and never develops, relates to Torah as a personality, never develops that relationship where you go over the Torah and you're looking for the details because you love the Torah and you want to develop that relationship with it and you keep the Torah close to you and it's Chaimi L'machazikim ba, and you grab hold of her and you refuse to give up and you develop that relationship, which is what we're going to, Mishle really, these temprakim is really gets into that. That's what brings about this response. That's what allows the Torah to really, protect you and you develop that personality and that relationship with Torah that allows you to be to ward off, if it's just to ward off the arguments from the Minim and the dangers from the Minim and the distractions from the Taivas and things like that, and it will cause you to really garner the respect and the esteem of the people around you if you become a person who really has that personal relationship to the Torah. But purely the intellectual idea of the Torah, where you relate to it as cold knowledge, does not. It's important and it's necessary, and it's one of the key elements that God's telling Shlomo Melech. But it doesn't go far enough, and it doesn't bring about the response. Torah doesn't respond to the pure intellectual analysis. What causes the Torah to respond is when there's also that emotional, personal relationship that you develop with the Torah. So the two things have to go together. They're intertwined. The psukim are putting them back and forth. You can't, a person who just tries to have an emotional relationship with Torah, that's impossible. You can't love the Torah if you don't know what she is. That doesn't exist. We don't hold by that. Maybe there's some, people, unfortunately, who, whatever. Okay. We don't hold by that. It's impossible. Mishle doesn't hold by that. You can't have that's a fake emotional relationship to the Torah. You don't really know what the Torah is and you love it. You're loving yourself. You're just loving your own projections, what you want the Torah to be. It's the derech, really the derech of the Umas Olam, is to love something without knowing what it is and just purely emotional thing. It's a little desire. You basically loving what you want something to be. So you can't have just the emotional thing. On the other hand, if you just purely intellectual and it's the cold analysis, it doesn't change the personality. It doesn't imbue you with the wisdom of Torah and the personality of Torah, and it won't change you in deep the core of your soul, and that won't be enough to really afford you the protection. And the real benefits of the Torah won't really reside in you if you just have the intellectual relationship to the Torah. It's got to be both, and it has to be interwoven, the two together. They complement each other, and they both need each other. Okay, so these psukim really interweave the two elements. The two elements together. One thing is we said in Pasuk Gimel Yud Tes Zion a couple weeks ago. So it was Orech Yamin B'Yamina B'Smolo Oshev Kavod. Right. So on the right hand of Torah is on the right of Torah is length of days, and on the left of Torah it was wealth and honor. And Rashi said there is Orech Yamin was for people who were osik lishma, but shalol lishma, you might not have orach yamin, but at least you have osher and kavod. So it seems that even if you're osik in Torah shalol lishma for personal reasons, not because of you recognize the greatness of Torah and mishum etzavaba, and you still have the osher and kavod. And that's true. I don't think this pasuk, these psukim negate that. That if you're involved in Torah for ulterior motives, it's still Torah still makes you wise, and wisdom is still the best way to get wealth and to get respect from people. But that's just talking about the regular respect that's afforded to an intelligent person. Intelligent person, people respect them. A person who's an idiot, people look down upon them. And knowledge and intelligence is the best way to do want to succeed in business. You got to use chachma. A person who just, wishes his way to wealth, he's you know, one in a trillion that works for nobody. Eventually, you get caught up. Things don't work out. You have to use chachma. But and even if it's for ulterior motives, that's still a good way to get money, and it's still a good way to get respect. But these psukim are not referring to person's osik shelo lishma, and he gets osher and kavod. It's true. This is talking about ateres teferes to magnecha, that Torah gives over to you a crowning glory. From the pasuk perak aleph pasuk tesef mishle is titin l'rosh chaliv yeschein. It's talking about a person who is the crowning glory of his society, the gadol ador, the leader of the generation. It's somebody who Torah is completely imbued, and people look at them as the paradigm of what perfection should really be, and somebody people love and adore and respect and honor and hold in esteem. That's much more than just a person who's osik in wisdom and knowledge, shelo b'shma, then people respect them for being intelligent. This is the idea that Torah can really transform a person into becoming a different type of person. Like the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Hey, where he says the Talmud Chacham is nicker from Shar Ha'am. He's different from the rest of the populace, not just in terms of his knowledge and ideas, but in terms of his actions and his speech. And Talmud Chacham becomes transformed into a whole different person, and he's the crowning glory of his society as the Talmud Chacham. Okay, even in Am Haaretz, who's intelligent, person who doesn't really have this relationship to Torah, but he acts intelligently, he can make money. A Bala Boss, he can make money if he's intelligent about his life. But if he doesn't, you know, people will respect the person, they'll respect him, especially if he has money. Okay, but that doesn't make him into the Talmud Chacham, who really is the leaders of the society and the people who everybody looks up to and they hold in esteem and dear. And you know, that's a totally different type of relationship. And that comes from the person who is not purely viewing Torah intellectually, but somebody who embraces the Torah, who goes over it, who cares about the details of the Torah, is excited about the Torah and loves it and refuses to abandon it. That's what really, you know, who, after they know the Torah and they study and they understand what it is, then they have their emotional relationship. That's when all these things really happen. That's the real Talmud Chacham. The personality of the Talmud Chacham is the combination of these two elements that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Shlomo Melech. This was Shlomo Melech's education, and this is what Shlomo Melech is trying to give over to us in order to imitate it, in order for us to be able to follow in the footsteps and the tzivoy that Hashem wants Shlomo to deliver to Bnei Yisrael. Yeah, so it's true that like if you just have knowledge and chachma Torah will make you wise, it'll protect you from making a lot of bad decisions, and that's mishlei. You know, that is a lot of mishlei. It's just having certain wisdom. But I think that v'tishmereka, I mean tinsereka here, it's a reference to the idea that it's not enough that you have to be, don't make stupid mistakes on your own. That there are a lot of bad actors out there that are looking to get you, and they're looking to use you for their own self. And if you're innocent, and if you're, even if you've become wise in the Torah, you're still susceptible to their attacks. Okay, and it's protecting you from the con man and the seductress we discussed in Perek Gimel. They're going to come back in Perek Hey. And these are the minim and the apikorsim and the taivas and the culture and the pomp of the secular world. The modern world is even much more so than I believe it is even in Shlomo's time. And these are the attractions and the draws on the person of the society that you live in and the arguments that they use. And it's of course you need the wisdom to protect yourself from that. But I said, saying is the wisdom itself is not alone. If you don't have that emotional bond and tie to Torah, then you're going to be susceptible to their attacks and their provocations. There are plenty of people who've learned in yeshivas in the past couple hundred years who ended up being picked off by the movements of the modern secular world that's picked them off away from the Torah. It's not enough to just learn Gemara and to know how to think in order to really protect yourself from the dangers that are lurking out there. You have to also develop that emotional bond to the Torah. And it's only the combination of the two that really allows you to be protected from those things. We're not just talking about protecting you from making bad decisions. It's protecting you from the dangers that really are out there in the world and that are coming for you, and that you can't really isolate yourself entirely from them. And if you don't become wise and you don't develop the emotional relationship to Torah, there's an opening for them to come and get you. And it's the relationship of the love that you have of Torah, because you view her as a personality. And again, this is something that is going to be developed more over the coming chapters of Mishlei. It culminates in Esh Hashchayil. It culminates in the idea of Torah as the Esh Hashchayil and that relationship between the Torah and the husband. And that whole section at the very end of Mishlei, that's the culmination of this line of thinking. But it's this interplay. This is the key message of Mishlei. It is Lekach Tov Nesadachem Torah Si'al Tazovu, and how do not abandon Torah? By becoming wise and acquiring knowledge from others and understanding yourself, being able to be an independent thinker on your own, and not just approaching the world purely intellectually, but also developing emotional bonds and relationship with the personality of the Torah. And it's that full picture that will enable you to navigate the world and the dangers that lurk in the world. And it's not a joke. It's not a joke. You know what I mean? It's the modern world. We've seen it to a larger degree than ever before the past couple hundred years. The truth of Sefer Mishlei here and the dangers that are there for the younger generation, and it's there, and it's there and it's real. And the only method for preventing protection is what God told Shlomo Melech. And that's what, like I told Nesantichem Tarasi Al Tazovi, you have to see the wisdom of the Torah, and you have to have the right methodology intellectually and the right emotional relationship to the Torah. Those things can protect you. There's no other real method available that can really, you can't really insulate yourself and totally avoid it. You have to really have the antidote to those things that comes from the Torah itself.